This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune in. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
Brother Matt,
good evening.
How are you doing this evening?
Hey, doing good, brother. And let me see
if I can
get. Except
it's probably morning where you're at.
Oh, yeah. I'm plus 13 hours ahead of East Coast, so I guess plus 15 ahead of you. It's 9:03 a.m. Tuesday morning.
Yeah, you've already gone ahead of us one day.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the future.
Oh, in a way.
I'm trying to get Brother Bear down, but I don't show him on Skype. Let's see if he picks up.
He should be on.
I'm not.
I might have had to reboot for a minute. I talked to him a little bit ago.
Okay. I'm not seeing any green light on, and so let's try him again. There he is.
Hello.
Major Tom. Hey. I may have dialed you on the phone number. Do you have your Skype turned on your computer?
Yes, I do now.
Okay, let me call you back. Hang on.
All right.
Okay, we're going to dial him back. There he goes. I see green now. Welcome aboard, everybody. Folks, we do have an official Omega Man page once again on Facebook. I'm just posting the schedule. That's about all I do on it. Go to OmegaMan.podcast on Facebook, and you can see the schedule every night. Major Tom, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back with you again.
Gentlemen, always an honor to be here with you. Folks, we're live here tonight, Monday, 31st of January, 2022, with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird. Gentlemen, the mic is yours. You want to open us in prayer?
Please,
yes,
do,
please.
Tom.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together over the airways and the cableways. It's amazing that your word can go through the air, penetrate through buildings and mortar and cement and rocks and rills and valleys and hills, and still reach all the people around the world. Father, we thank you, for you are the Almighty God. You are always faithful unto us. The enemy would come in like a flood and attempt to cause us to doubt. But you will prevail, and you have spoken it already in your word. Lord, we ask that you pour out your spirit upon us. Strengthen us in this hour of trouble and time turmoil. Cause us, as you have said, to do great exploits for you. We thank you, Father, and we ask, Lord, now that you prepare us with this knowledge of the upcoming conflagrations that will soon be upon us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, welcome back. And as we're getting started tonight, I need to tell you a quick story. And I know Brother Tom Baird, you were raised on the farm. So maybe you'll appreciate
yes.
this. They have a farm here in Bali that you can buy online all sorts of milk products, raw milk. It's the only place I can find half and half cream. They've got 30%. And they sell it in glass bottles. They deliver it to you. They've got chocolate milk, butter, just about anything you can produce on a farm. And we've had good experience. So I had ordered some 30% cream for coffee. Came in yesterday. I was so excited. I'm making a cup of coffee. And the Lord had me smell the bottle before I drank it. And brother, I have a nose that could be hired out by a perfume factory. It's very exact. I smelled feces in this bottle of milk.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
It smelled just like someone had gotten off the toilet. You know what I'm talking about. And I said, mm-hmm. Dear God, what is that? Let me take another whiff. Brother, I suspect that there was some cross-contamination. Does that happen sometimes? And I can only praise God today that I didn't drink that without smelling it. Now, I bought two bottles, smelled the second one, and that smelled normal. But I know how half and half smells. It's supposed to smell sweet. And this
sure.
smelled like feces. What do you think happened?
Well, somebody who was told to carry out the swill and the feces out of the barn dumped it in an area where they were probably diluting with water, diluting the product of a full cream into a one-third cream base. And you probably got that contamination that way, would be my surmise.
What would have happened had I drank this?
Usually in the employment of the Lord, nothing, except emotional upset of having drunk somebody's feces. But on the other hand, it could be you could have contacted cholera or hepatitis, either one.
Oh, dear God. I praise God that I did not drink it, and I destroyed that and also the chocolate milk I'd ordered for the babies. Just that quick story. I will never order from them again. I can no longer trust them. And I contacted them and I said, hey, I smelled feces in your half and half. And they said, well, we will investigate it and find out what happened. We'll contact our kitchen staff. Never heard back from them again. Not expecting a refund either. With that, we'll get moving.
No. Wow. Yep. Well, that they may not have purposely done that.
Right.
However, they became an instrument of the enemy.
Absolutely. And I don't think they did it on purpose, of course not. But they admitted they have hired help. So someone wasn't doing their due diligence. And very sad. And so I can never trust them again. I'm not going to risk it. It's not worth
no.
it. I'll give up
no.
coffee first. Well, with that story out of the way, we'll get started. Gentlemen, the mic is yours.
Okay, and then, as we do usually, you can go to Major Baird's site, liveontheedge.com, and go to the 2022 programs. You know, we're a new year now, and so I've put up the new programs. By the way, Major Baird's connections on Major Baird's websites are there, too, for the series of programs he does on Tuesday night. And some night we're both going to talk about it because there's some really good information there. Also, one of these days, it's probably 2 or 3 months off at this point. But we're finding that when we talked about the three disasters of Genesis, last year on February 1st, we really didn't cover it well enough. That really what happened in Genesis 11, and it's almost terse in the Bible, but what we're seeing in Genesis 11 is happening now. And when we get it done, we will have videos, we'll have Bible codes. We're going to have a very interesting understanding of this before it's done. And if you want to get a head start on it, I will be putting up material on my website, biblecodes.co, probably in the next week or two. Already have some put up, but you won't be able to find it unless you know exactly what to look for, because I haven't put in any links yet. I always put the links in after I got everything up, because right now what I have up may have spelling errors and stuff, because I even have to edit my own stuff. And sometimes I don't do a great job. It's very hard to edit your own stuff.
Amen.
And so, but tonight we're going to revisit something we talked about a couple of years ago. But we realize that we need to go over it again, because we're coming through a very turbulent time. I know Shannon has on one gentleman who lives in the Ukraine and probably gives you some very, very up-to-the-minute reports about what's happening between the Ukrainian Republic and Russia.
Robert Avila, and he's on high alert right now. They may be imminently moving if they haven't already. Go back to you.
And yes, I talk to him once in a while too. So I do pray for him, because they're in a very tenuous situation there. And we're seeing a world that is literally, the only thing restraining it right now, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. And when that restraint is gone, things are going to blow up real fast. Because the biggest thing, and I'll give you a hint, part of what I'm working on is a series called Destruction Through Advancements in Technology. And this is something that we have so much technology right now, and man doubles his knowledge now about every 4 to 6 months. Used to be it took years. Then suddenly it took weeks. Now it can happen within days. Mm-hmm. We can process information so quickly, and everybody can process it. It isn't like there's just a few big computers around doing it. Everybody with a PC has the potential to process a massive amount of information. It's like what I do when I look at cryptocurrencies. I have to process an enormous amount of information on my poor old computer, and it works it to death. And once in a while, when I do one of those, everything crashes because it's stressing the chip so much. But what's going to happen is, once we have too much information, we advance past all the restraints that we should have on processing this information. And when we do so, we risk falling to the dark side and coming under the purview of Satan and ancient evil.
Yeah, may I interject something here?
Yes, please do.
It already is happening right now. What's interesting as we look at it, way back as early, earlier than 1973, the technology and the advancement of technology was occurring already so rapidly that they began to, prophetically portray the end result of what their efforts were. And they were putting in place experiments and results of experiments biologically, particularly biologically, that will facilitate killing most of mankind and changing the genetic makeup of almost all mankind. And they had it in the wings. They had it ready so that at any moment when the winds of time of change took hold, they could then interject that. One of those items we know now by its name as a vaccine for COVID. They had to have the COVID, but they had it ready, waiting for the opportunity for such a thing as COVID first, which would be just enough, wouldn't be lethal, it wouldn't be real lethal, it would be slightly lethal. But it would be enough if you harped on it, if you proclaimed it often enough, it would create a psychosis of fear. And the advantage of having a psychosis of fear is that you stop looking to reason. You look to those things that you trust, that have been portrayed to you as trustworthy. And then you buy into taking the vaccine. And that is the real purpose for all of this exercise we're going through right now. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes. Now, one of the things we learned from the codes, and it's on BibleCodes.co. I won't go into it in detail now. But we discovered that much of this research was being done during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
When there were no restraints, no ethical restraints on the research being done in these concentration camps. Because if you remember, the concentration camps were all built by a huge mega corporation called IG Farben. And this mega corporation, they built all these concentration camps with one thing in mind, and that's to do massive amounts of medical research. Well, when the war wasn't going so well for Nazi Germany in 1944, they had a big meeting in the Hotel Maison Rouge in Strasbourg, France. Well, France, Germany, the city changes hands every time there's a war. But Strasbourg, France, it's still a pretty nice hotel. If you're going to stay there, you can count on burning about $400 a day, which is a little above my budget, probably above Major Baird's budget and Shannon's budget. But this was a very high security conference. Only certain people were allowed in. And the guards were SS. And their orders were simple. Shoot first, ask questions later. If you make a mistake, no big deal. So what happens? A man by the name of Dr. Otto Scheid, he moderates this meeting, moderates it for the leaders of the Nazi Party. He announces to all the industrialists in the room, "We've lost the war. We're going to collapse in another year. The Eastern Front is pretty much in disarray. Everything we tried and cursed did not work. And now the Allies on the Western Front are only 100 miles to the west of us and advancing every day. So we need to come up with we're coming up with a new plan for how we're going to spread what we've been doing here." So suddenly they form something like 300 new corporations all over the world. And it's easy to form corporations. All you got to do is write up an articles of incorporation and file them with whatever governmental entity. In Colorado, it's the Secretary of State. In most states, it's the Secretary of State. And in most countries, there's an administrative body that will allow you to form a corporation. Well, they formed several hundred of these. And they moved all these assets out of their normal places to protect them. And now suddenly, thanks to Operation Paperclip, they were able to sell the idea. And I believe Alan Dulles was the one who got it sold. Remember, we talked back in time about how Alan Dulles became a member of the Order of the Black Sun, a very secret Nazi organization that literally governed Nazi Germany. In fact, by the end of the war, it was higher than Hitler himself and told Hitler what to do. But the Order of the Black Sun was able to migrate from Nazi Germany to America through Operation Paperclip by selling the idea that if we let all this stuff fall to the Russians, we're going to lose the Cold War. The very thing Major Baird was talking about, a spirit of fear. And unfortunately, the churches forgot about what Paul taught Timothy. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Win Worley even created a song about it. And but instead, the spirit of fear pervaded in the United States and in Europe. The fear that the Russians were going to come in. Little did we realize that Russia had its own problems. They couldn't even feed the very people that they were governing, let alone send an army to invade the world. Yet, and when the Cuban Missile Crisis came about, they spun this story that Russia had all these missiles, when it turned out that they really didn't have very many at all. But the fear was all they needed.
Mm-hmm. I remember having lived through that. I was actually a college student at the time. And everyone I met for the last week before the culmination of that particular fear mongering, they were terrified. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, "Why are you so terrified? We actually are not going to go to war. We're going to actually stop. We're going to negotiate, and we're not going to war." And the reason I knew that is because God had given me a prophetic dream earlier in the year, before I started the college year at the time, in 1962. And so when God shows you what's going to happen and that his hand is upon it and that it's not going to culminate in total disaster, but in fact will be resolved by negotiation, it will happen. But at the same time, now we're not looking at that. We're looking at, instead of negotiating things out and parleying things like our particular present administration is trying to do with Iran, who is playing us like a fiddle, we are not going to negotiate anything. We're going to actually exacerbate and make worse, far worse, the results of the conflagration, because it will be nuclear. And it will be of a nature of an even more so than the dirty bombs that explode next to the surface of the earth. You'll have high altitude, 100, 150 miles up, of an EMT for a whole continent. Go ahead.
Yes, and it's interesting because that sort of plays into the Gog-Magog war we talked about previously, Ezekiel 38. Now it's time to look at 39. Some will say, well, isn't that a repeat of 38? Not exactly. We're finding out that it's going to be quite a bit more. And sometimes we've let things get a little bit out of hand. And like with most of these PowerPoints, I've had to put warnings on here about the fact that we are using material that's copyrighted, but fair use allows us to use it for the purposes of criticism, news reporting, and teaching. And that doesn't infringe copyright. And so we have to put these warnings in front of everything we do. I hate to think we have to, but we've had trouble in the past. But when we looked at Ezekiel 38, we realized that there are several players in all of this. We see a revived Ottoman Empire, which is today Turkey. But the Turkish government is starting to expand its influences. And it's been working closely with Iran as of late. And we're also seeing some cooperation. And I don't think it's something we can really see as a group of people, but renegade members of the tribe of Reuben. How could we ever have missed that? It was there in the scriptures, but nobody wants to study it. But it's there. We have concordances now. There's a computer program called eSword that's completely free. You can download it, download more Bibles than you could care to imagine, and in just about any language you want. And beyond that, you can get commentaries, everything else. But we're seeing this. We're seeing the tribes of North Africa, which are Islamic. We're seeing various Balkan countries, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Kosovo, all of them Islamic. And we find out, what are they after? Why would they care about a little country called Israel that in some places is only about 30, 40 miles wide? Until we suddenly realize that they have three huge natural gas fields, and their value now is being estimated at over $1 trillion. And I can guarantee you there's a lot of people interested in stealing $1 trillion. And not only that, there are seven royal families who will be more than happy to exploit them, to sell these countries all the supplies they need. They'll pump it out of the ground, and they'll take it, give them a pittance of the money, and they'll think they're making a killing. because we've seen what they've done in Iran, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. They come in there, pump the oil out, and give them millions. They think they're rich. And the royal families are laughing all the way to the bank. And so they don't mind, and they're ready to let the Arabs do the dirty work. And they'll come in and clean up afterwards. That's why we've seen them push vaccines in Israel. But we haven't seen them push it in any Islamic country. In fact, the imams have all said not to take the vaccine. Why is it sometimes that the imams seem to be listening to the Holy Spirit better than our own preachers? And it's getting to be sad, because there's a lot of churches that some of us could not go in because we haven't been vaccinated. Which I think is a horrifically discriminatory thing.
Well, it shows that the origin of the philosophy of the leadership is not in God.
Oh, no. So, but we're looking at what these guys have done. And this is just a
warm-up.
Yeah, it's just a little warm-up. But we also study from Ezekiel 38 that the Arabs don't realize that Yahuwah has a purpose with this battle. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make himself known to these Arab nations, and he's going to get them to give up the worship of their moon god. And they're going to start worshiping the creator of the universe. In fact, they may believe him better than most of the church people do now. And the other thing that's important is he's going to draw them into this battle. They're not going to go willingly. And we've seen this, and we're going to have some information about how they will get people to go into battle unwillingly. Now, why on earth would somebody go into battle unwillingly? We're going to find out in a few weeks. And the other thing to point out is this war is different from Revelation 20, mm-hmm. which is post-millennial, because in that war, the devil, driven by ancient evil, incites Gog and Magog and gets them to convince the rest of the world to come against Israel. And the reason that's happening is because instead of getting them to believe, this is when the devil and all evil will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. This is the final judgment. What we're seeing in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not the final judgment. You have to make a distinction. And this is one of the things where we've made some mistakes in our analysis in the past. And it's important to go back through these things and read more carefully. And when we get to Ezekiel 39, again, we're seeing another prophecy against Gog. And he is the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now, chief prince is an interesting phraseology, because You really don't often see Chief Prince until you deal with demons. And when you deal with demons, Chief Princes come up every so often. Sometimes you'll be doing a deliverance and a Chief Prince shows up. And he's trying to stop it, and he doesn't understand that the power of Yahushua is greater than his power. And you're going to put him under subjection the same way you do any other demon. But in this case, Gog is the chief prince over Meshach and Tubal. We've described what Meshach and Tubal are. And this time, he's going to bring them out of their countries, and they're going to come down to Israel. They're going to come out of the north parts, and they're going to come upon the mountains of Israel. And we've spent a little time going over Gog and seeing that it's one of the sons, a grandson of Reuben. And Reuben, I would say, he was the true firstborn of Israel, but he lost his birthright when he slept with his father's concubine, which is an extremely extreme piece of wickedness. And so Reuben lost his birthright. It went to Joseph. You wonder why everybody hates Joseph? Well, it's because the birthright went to him. It's interesting when Jacob actually finally hands out the birthright, he doesn't give it to Joseph. He gives it to Ephraim, and that's Joseph's second-born son. His first-born son, because his name is Manasseh, which means to forget, he isn't going to hand it to somebody who's going to forget what it is. He's going to hand it to Ephraim. And we've seen Ephraim become the largest tribe by far of all the tribes of Israel. They're everywhere. And we went over a lot of this stuff. And with Meshach, we find him as the son of Japheth. And we find them circulating in Central Europe. And Meshach is a son of Shem, also Central Europe. Shem, by the way, when Noah died, he was the world ruler, and he was literally charged with repopulating the earth after the flood. And the key person of his sons is Arphaxad, which eventually would lead to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the line there. But we also have other sons of Shem. Ashur, which is Assyria or Iraq today. Lud, which is North Africa. Aram is Syria. And so we're trying to get this. And we find out that Yavon, Tubal, and Meshach, Yavon is Greece, by the way, they were merchants. They traded souls of men and vessels of brass in thy market. And somebody will ask, what is the connection between souls of men and vessels of brass? Well, many vessels of brass make a noise, like a trumpet does these days. Unlike in Israel's time, when they used ram's horns to make their trumpets. Now we use brass. And it's amazing what music can do to control the souls of men. We've seen it especially in rock music, for example. And this music literally can control populations. And these guys are experts in it. And Ezekiel 27, it's parallel in the New Testament, is Revelation 18. And their major city is Tyre, which is the capital of Phoenicia. And suddenly, once you see the capital of Phoenicia, you start seeing a ship, a society that does shipping. And they go all over the ancient world, clear up to England, up into Scandinavia, all over Africa, into Asia. The Phoenicians went everywhere. And their predecessors, the Minoans, were also very much all over the world. And they were able to take all of these goods and transfer them all over the world. So suddenly what happens in Tyre goes to Greece, and suddenly the Greek culture expands. It goes to Rome, and suddenly what used to be an Etruscan center suddenly becomes a Roman center, and Rome became the most powerful nation on the earth for probably 300 years. Some would say more, but that's a debate that I'm not willing to go into. But they brought about world trade. Probably about 40 years ago, when they were excavating a couple of places in Rome itself, they started going, digging stuff out of the dirt, and they started finding Chinese artifacts. And everybody's saying, huh? What are Chinese artifacts doing in the middle of Rome, buried under the ground? Until they began to realize, after they started looking at the documents, that China had an embassy in Rome. And probably if we ever got to China, we would see a Roman embassy in China. This is a lot more expanded than our history books have told us. And even today, much of the law that governs the world started with Rome, which grabbed it from Babylon, which grabbed it from Egypt. And so, what we are looking at is we're looking at a master race of people, because maybe Rome has fallen, but many of these countries still exist today. They're just broken apart, and the royal families would love nothing better than to bring them all together and to bring them under their purvey, and then they, once they're all together, they can become that beast system. And before long, we now have a monstrosity. A monstrosity that's only going to be dealt with properly if our Heavenly Father shuts it down. And that's what the Bible says he's going to do. They're going, as we get to Ezekiel 39, 4 through 5, they're going to fall upon the mountains of Israel. Thou and all thy bands, and the people that are with them. And I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Master Yahuwah. He's let them down here, and he's going to destroy them. He's now going to show us who really he is. There's not going to be any doubt any longer. And these guys are going to learn it the hard way. And it's interesting, you go to Revelation 19, verses 17 and 18, you see the same thing described. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves unto the supper of the great Elohim, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. There's some things that definitely get put together here. And how is he going to do it? And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah. Anybody, and here's his condition. Verse 7 is his condition. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am Yahuwah, the Holy One in Israel. Anybody who has gone to the Holy Land and done anything to pollute the holy name of our Heavenly Father is going to be dealt with. And if you're sitting off somewhere where you think you're safe, don't count on it. That fire will find you. That fire will find you. But now we get to, boy, we're about 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm sitting here going to ask Major Baird to look at these next two verses. I'll read them, and then he's going to have to explain a few things here. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves, and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Two reasons you would destroy something and do it for 7 years. And I would gather the first one is nuclear contamination, but the second one is biological contamination. And with some of these super bugs that are coming out in the last few years, it may take 7 years worth of fire to literally destroy these super bugs. And this is, you know, why would we burn something for 7 years? Normally, let's take a classic example, the Great Fire of London. It came through, burned down most of the city, but what disappeared? The bubonic plague. It disappeared as quickly as it came. But in this case, we're burning them with fire 7 years. Why, Major Baird?
Well, You mentioned it already, the virility of the pathogens that are there. In addition to that, however, we need to go further over to verses 11 through 13 to get a better feel for it. And because it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place where there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Harmon Gog." Now, east of the sea means east of the Dead Sea. That's where it's going to be. It's on the east side, not on the west side. That's their burying place. It goes on and says, "In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, and they that they may cleanse the land." You have to remember the commandments of war that God gave to the tribes of Israel were that not only were you to kill the enemy, and in this case they were Nephilim, and so their bloodlines were totally contaminated with fallen angel blood. So that's one of the main reasons why it was a commandment to completely annihilate the total population, not only of humans, but of animals as well, because they had corrupted the animals. Now, the problem they have is that when they killed all these people, they were then, number one, when a soldier fell and bled to death, which is usually the way they died, the ground itself was contaminated by that particular soldier's blood. And one of the things it says in the prophetic right now is that when we have the battle of,
Armageddon,
I was going to say, Megiddo, the amount of soldiers slaughtered will be so many that the drain off of the blood itself will be as high as a horse's bridle. Well, I'm 5'10", and there are some horses that their bridle comes right up to my chin. That's got to be 5 feet deep. Right there. So that's a lot of blood. That contamination is contaminated in many, many different ways. Number one, because it's carrion, it's rotted flesh. It carries all sorts of pathogens in it. Blood itself is a host for all sorts of an attraction of the most virulent diseases you can find. And you've got to be able to cleanse the land, not only of it ceremonially, because that was the main reason for them having to bury everybody, but because of the hygiene of the area. It wasn't safe to live in that area until you had, in fact, cleansed it. In fact, it's so extensive that they have individuals employed 100% of the time to go around and to bury the people. And if anyone found a bone that's still visible above ground, they were to flag it so that when the teams came through, the gathering teams came through, they could then pick up the bones and add them to the mass graves that they had already dug. So you've got a ceremonial reason for it having to be cleansed because of its contamination. and you've got a hygienic reason for having the area actually torched to get rid of the pathogens. And if you notice in the archaeological digs, every one of the cities that they come across have a layer that is a burn layer where the entire city was incinerated and nothing was left but black ash. That was the result of their burning the carcasses and the cities themselves. Now, if you have in this battle tactical and strategic nuclear weapons that can emit from 100 to 150 feet high violent EMT combined with a corona mass ejection from the sun with the phenomenon known as what do we call it? It's a solar condition where our shields, our magnetic shields that you can't see, are at their weakest. And in fact, interestingly enough, we are in fact in that particular position, and we have the shields are down, and then you couple that with the evil wickedness of man prodded on by fallen angels and demons, and you have a terrible condition that will actually kill and destroy all the flesh that's there in the army, not only of the soldiers, but of all of the animals as well. And you'll notice later on that God immediately calls forth the vultures and the wild beasts in order to come in and begin to devour the carrion that's there so that it doesn't putrefy as badly as it would. Putrid flesh does not appeal to me to eat. In fact, I would recommend nobody do that. I have some Eskimo friends.
Well, we saw that with Shannon just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, the native Eskimos and some of the Indians in Alaska will putrefy various parts of animals, not a very big portion of it, usually a flipper or something like that, and they call it stinky fin. And they let it stay underneath. And of course, this is in an environment where it's a gradual process because it's cold there, and they usually put it underneath a log where it doesn't thaw out. There were places in the scrub forest around my home that never thawed out all year round. And they were actually places underneath the spruce trees, covered by moss, and underneath that moss was frozen ground that never thawed out. Well, they put this little fin in there, and they left it in that particular condition, and it became a stinky fin. The problem is, if you don't do it right, it's going to kill you. And every year, we have elderly people that are found dead, and it's right way, their diet was a little piece of that stinky fin. Now, I can't imagine trying to eat a rotten egg or a rotten fin. But it was one of the ways that they would get high, go into a psychedelic occult trip, and hallucinate and get messages. Well, you can you imagine what kind of message you're getting? Not a very good
one.
No, no.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're out of time. And would you like to stop right there and give us your contact information? Tell people
sure.
how they can reach.
Surely. This is Tom Beard, Major Retired, and you can reach me at my website, aliveontheedge.com, and also at my email, which is tom@aliveontheedge.com. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tom.
Professor yes, Tom. And we've done my websites or WhiteStoneFoundation.org, AntichristWatch.org, BibleCodes.co. And to reach me, just TomMack@WhiteStoneFoundation.org. And I do thank you for writing. I read everything, and most of the time I respond. And if you have questions, I can't imagine I've gone through this without a few questions. If you have them, send them along. We'll try to answer them.
Gentlemen, what would you like to title this for the archive tonight?
Well, I guess we would call it The Gog Magog War, Part 4.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Okay,
God
sounds
bless you.
Good.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Friends, stand by. Let me go ahead and set up for our next show, and we'll get that going here. Hold on just a minute.